Campus 2004, our Easter Seminar. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley bringing you the Easter Seminar from the University of Healing in Campo, California. Our seminar title is called The Illuminated Christ in All. The Illuminated Christ in All is a very special consciousness, a very special awareness. It's a very special way of looking at things. We oftentimes look at it as though some people are illuminated. We look at some people are special. They are far more than others. They are gifted, if you will, you know, like people who are gifted in being child prodigies and things like that. But we say the illuminated Christ is in all. Now, what does it mean that it's in all? What does it mean that the Christ is in all? This is a Easter sunrise, not sunrise, but an Easter service, and the sun has risen, and it's a lovely day here on the campus, and we are celebrating Easter. Now, what does Easter mean? Well, it means that the story of the resurrected Christ is a story that we're all going to be interested in. But is that true? No. No. It's a story of the resurrected Jesus. If you understand, the Christ can neither be resurrected or destroyed. It cannot be in any way put out of business. But the human body, we can put out of business, and we can go into different bodies, and we can go into different experiences. And so we are talking about the resurrected Jesus, the resurrected man, which is not belittling him in any way and not belittling the Godhead present in that body and in every body. But it is a recognition that the Christ can neither be created nor destroyed. The Christ cannot be uplifted. The Christ cannot be put down. The Christ cannot be put in a tomb. The Christ cannot be put in a box. The Christ cannot be something that's just for one person and not for others. This is what the world has tried to proclaim, that Jesus the Christ was the only Christ. Jesus the Christ was the only Son of God. Jesus the Christ was the only Godhead made manifest on earth. And Jesus the Christ tried to say that that was not true. He said it many, many, many times. And then he said, the things that I do, you shall do also, and greater things than these shall you do. Now, if we are going to do greater things than he, what are we going? Are we going to do greater things than the Christ? What does the Christ mean? The illuminated man is a beautiful thing. The illuminated Christ is an eternal thing. It is something that exists from time to time, from moment to moment, from eon to eon. It never changes, the illuminated Christ. Where is your illuminated Christ? See, it is in all. It is in all. Where is your illuminated Christ? Have you talked to your illuminated Christ recently? Have you lived in the awareness that the illuminated Christ was present in you recently? Have you done that? Well, probably not. Probably not, because it's so easy to think of God outside of us. The moment we want to pray, we throw our hands together and put them up in the air and say, "Oh God," to an outside deity. And of course, we never get any results. Well, some people get results, yes, but they really are believing in themselves. And they are really treating into themselves. They're listening into themselves and having a beautiful situation thereby. And that's kind of nice. Now, what about you? Do you have a beautiful situation inside? Are you listening to that divine in you? Are you realizing that the Christ in you is eternal, never changing? If I were to say to you that you have a body different from someone else. You would say, well, of course I do. I have a different body. My body has my name on it. And your body has your name on it. And yes, that is objectively true. But in every single body, in every single life form, in every single non-life form, are the same principles at work. The same principle at work is the principle of what? The principle of the atomic activity within any individual body. The atomic activity within any individual body is all the same. The atomic activity within a stone, within a tree, within a house as an object, within a person, within whatever you want to say, animal, mineral, or vegetable, doesn't matter. It's all the same. Now, you say, well, the atoms are just a little different. Okay, then let's go into a subform. Is the energy the same in all? Is the energy the same in all living and non-living matter? Is the energy the same? And what does the energy do? It moves. It moves at different rates of speed, so therefore it gives different solidity to whatever the object is that is present in. So now, what about you? What sort of energy do you have in you? And do you have a different energy than I do? Or have you energized yourself a little differently than I have? Have you energized your awareness of your revealing talent of who you are, of playing the piano, more than I have? You say, well, that's just a trained talent that has nothing to do with energy. It surely does. It surely does. You look at a dozen people who are trained as a piano player, and how many are interesting to listen to? And you say, I like the people who are improvisers. They get at that piano and they let their spirit come out through the music. They let their soul come soaring through the keyboard, through the musical notes. And you feel wonderful. You see, they're the same. But they have let go of that divine within them. They've let go of that energy force within them. And they let that energy force get out and do miracle things. And it's kind of exciting, isn't it? Kind of exciting to see other people as they are expressing their unique self. Yeah. Are they any better than we are? Think about all of the things, and you'll realize that on the human scale, everyone is exactly the same. Everything is exactly the same. And we are experiencing them all. Now, the Lumen Christ in all, what difference does that make? What difference does the Lumen Christ in all make to the human being? Well, think about it. The human Christ in all. Human Christ? Illumined Christ. The illumined Christ in all is the complete expression of what that being has the capability or desire of being. Not capability. The capabilities are the same for everybody. But the desire. Now, what do you have a desire to be? Do you have a desire to be a beautiful, sensitive, caring human being? Or do you have the desire to be a beautiful, caring, sensitive, divine being? Well, you see, of course, a divine. That's much better than a human. Well, that may be. But what are you really playing? What are you really playing? You know, I have, in my lifetime, met so many thousands of people, and all of them put a show on for me. I could have them all put the same show on if I wanted, because I'm their creator. But I have them each put their own show on for me, because I know who I am. And I don't have to see in the out picturing of the world around me a reference to who I am. Most of us, we want to do that. Most of us, we are angry in ourselves and we look out and see anger. We are happy in ourselves and we look out and see happiness. I don't do that. I look out and I see everyone as they divinely are. I see everyone revealing the absolute purity and perfection that they are. I see everyone revealing the totality of their being. Now you say, well, Herb, if that's what you see, wow, that's pretty exciting. That is the action of the illumined Christ. Yes, that is the action of the illumined Christ. Now, would you like to see like that? You have the capacity. You have the capacity with a snap of your finger to see like that. But would you like to see like that? And the answer is no. Why would you not like to see like that? Because if you see like that, then theoretically the show is over. You are fulfilled. You are revealed. You are unfolded. You are the allness. The only way the show is going to go on is if you feel that the show needs to go on. If you feel that you haven't done all the living you'd like to do. If you feel unsatisfied and incomplete. If you feel that you would like to go and build a house in Spain, so to speak. You know, you'd like to go and sail around the world. You'd like to go to the rocket, on a rocket to the moon, or whatever you'd like to do, you know? What would you like to do? You see, these are the things that separate the divine man from the human man. They're both exactly the same. The divine man says, I am fulfilled. The human man says, I need, I want, I would like. And all the human man has to do is say, I am. Now, there are many philosophies, many religions that have come out, like the I Am movement, and, you know, teaching us to say, I am. As Moses has said when he approached the burning bush, who shall I say has sent thee, me to Egypt, and to bring out the God's chosen people? And God said, say, I am that I am has sent thee. Now, what did that mean? I am that I am has sent thee. What does that mean? Does that mean something other than the divine in you? Something other than the human in you? What does it mean? Well, all that it means is that Moses knew he couldn't go to the people and say, I am God and I have come to free you. Because if he had done that, they would have put him in chains. They would have said, you're really off your rocker, old man, you know. And that's what they say about us. When we say that we're God, they want to put us in chains. And the reason they want to put us in chains goes back to the old thing of Plato's people in the cave. They're afraid of what they might find out there. They're afraid of what it might be, what it might mean to say, I am God, God I am. But the illumined Christ transcends all of that. The illumined Christ does one thing that the human does not do and does not want to do. The human wants to tell the world all about whatever it's thinking about. The illumined Christ lives it and is it. And living it, they can be in a human world, but they're untouched by a human world. They're not possessed by a human world. The illumined Christ in each person, when it's expressing, when it is allowed to be revealed, has no interest whatsoever in letting other people know that it is the illumined Christ. It has no interest in letting people know that it knows who it is. When I say to you, and I say these things purposely, When I say to you, I am the illumined Christ, and you say, well, Herb, if you are the illumined Christ, then why aren't you this and why aren't you that? Oh, how do you see me? If you were the illumined Christ, you would see me, the illumined Christ, and anything which would be contrary to what you visualize as being the illumined Christ would not be for me. It would only be what you visualize the illumined Christ to be. Now, do you visualize the illumined Christ to be big enough to encompass what I am? To be big enough to encompass who you really are? What your illumined Christ is? What your infinity is? How about that? Is your inner awareness big enough to understand your infinity? And the answer, of course, has to be no. Because once you understand what infinity is, you are infinity, and then you're not doing any understanding of what it is. You know, the girls, they often write down the man's name behind their name, Julie Andrews, and her name is Julie Jones, and she wants to be Julie Andrews, Mrs. Julie Andrews, you know. And the reason that she wants that is because this is what she thinks, he's a nice guy, she loves him, and so forth. Well, why is she bothering writing Mrs. Julie Andrews for her name? Why does she do that? She is doing that because she wants to re-cement the idea of who she is. She wants to encourage it and speed it along. And as she encourages it and speeds it along, then what happens? She thinks it makes it happen faster. Now, if instead of that, she would just say simply, I am fulfilled and happy. But I want to be fulfilled as a married woman. I want to be fulfilled as the wife of this person. I want to do this. I want to do that. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. Because the minute we start making it particular, making it point by point, we are not the illumined Christ. We are merely using the law of cause and effect to work in our life and bring things to us. And that's okay. That's okay. It's a silly way to do it because you can't think of everything. And you don't want to think of everything. Because if you think of everything, then you'll no longer want to think of anything. And when you don't want to think of anything, then you're not needing anything or wanting anything. You just are everything. Now, that's what the illumined Christ is. And that's what each of you are when you are experiencing the illumined Christ. You have no desire for anything. You have no interest in anything. You just are expressing yourself in a fabulous, wonderful way. So, the illumined Christ is a very special consciousness. It's a very special understanding for us. And when we begin to live in the awareness of the illumined Christ, then we begin to have every single door open for us, and it doesn't matter. We can stand before the door of the great treasure chest of wealth, just tons of gold and money and all that neat stuff, you know, and we're untouched by it. Now, let me ask you a question. In the vagueness of your consciousness, would you rather have all that gold and all that wealth and be very wealthy and to have people know you're wealthy, and then you'd have to sell off a little bit to do whatever you want to do? If you want to buy a kingdom, you'd have to take a portion of the gold and give it for the kingdom, okay? Now, what if you were so wealthy that all you did was speak your word? And you said, I will take that, I'll take that. Well, who can do that? Who can do that? For a starter, you know who can do that? That's done on the floor of the stock market every day. 22, 18, 68, whatever the numbers are on the stock, they call the stock out, and they say what they're bidding for it, and they say who they are who is bidding for it. And so then the stock is set aside for them at the price that they have paid for it. And the numbers are infinite. You think that surely they'd make a lot of mistakes, but they know what they're doing. Those boys, those young men who are standing on the stock floor doing the bidding for their companies and for their whoever, they have infinite wealth. They stand there and they're spending, you know. And they're having a ball. And it's not their money. If it messes up, it's no problem. If it builds up, woo-hoo, I should have put some into myself. But they don't know that. And they don't think that. All they think is, are they doing their job to their highest and best? Are they calling out the numbers to their highest and best? Do they have behind them an infinite amount of money? Yes. Never a thought, do I have enough dollars for this? Do I have enough dollars? Before they go on the floor, they have thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars for whatever purpose they want. And yet, if you were to ask them where they live, they would tell you they live in a modest apartment somewhere. Why don't they have that same attitude off the floor that they have on the floor? That's just an attitude, you know. And if they have this attitude on the floor that they are independently wealthy, because they're serving a wealthy master, you might say, why don't they serve a wealthy master and be independently wealthy off the floor? You see, the illumined Christ in each of us does these things. The illumined Christ in each of us is infinitely wealthy on the floor and off the floor. The illumined Christ is the one that is experiencing everything in every area of life. But I want to impress this upon you because it's a very tough point. When you have everything, you don't want anything. When you have nothing, you want everything. And even when you have nothing, you know what you say? I would never like to die wealthy. You know, I'd like to be healthy all my life. I'd spend all my money to be healthy. And that's not true. That's not true. Right now, do you spend all of your money to be a blessing to you? Or do you sometimes take money and give it to the poor? Oh my. Do you sometimes take money and give it to people who beg on the street? Then you're not giving it to yourself. Oh yeah, it makes me feel good inside. No, it doesn't. You feel these people are using you. And they are. And you're creating them using you. But now, what if you were to take one of these people who stands by the side of the road begging, you know, and say, sir, do you want a job? No, I'm doing fine begging, you know. Sir, do you want a job? Yes, I'd love to have a job. To me, it puts me down to beg like this. Well, come work for me. I want you to do my gardens. I want you to do all of my handyman stuff. Can you do that sort of thing? Oh, yes, I'm very good at it. Okay. Then he starts working for you. And you say, I will give you room and board. I'll take care of your medical and your clothing and stuff like that, but no salary. And the guy says, that's just fine. That's more than I had before. So he takes the room and board and medical and all the clothing and what have you that goes along with it, and he is just super. He's living in paradise. He's healthy now. He's got all things going for him. And then he starts to compare. And he said, if I were on the outside of this place working, I would get enough to rent my own house. I would get enough to buy my own clothes. I'd get enough to take care of my insurance and to take care of my needs, my room and board, and maybe have a little left over. And so he says, I quit. And so he goes to work for somebody else, and their expectation of him is different. Where he was working before, he could work in a leisurely pace. Now, he's working for a larger salary, and he's expected to put out more work. And so, he objects to that. He says, oh, I had it so good before, I had it so good before. And he did. But he made comparisons. You see, if you are an illumined Christ, you never make comparisons. If you are an illumined being, you never make comparisons. If you are just an ordinary being, you never make comparisons. What happens when you make comparisons? Then you think you don't have enough. You think that your role in life is not adequate, is not generous enough. And that's great. But think about that for yourself. Think, how would you act? What would you do if you were the illumined Christ? The illumined Christ. What would you do if you were the illumined Christ? Would you go out and help the world? Oh my, yes, I'd go and help the world, because the world needs so much help. You know? If you were the illumined Christ, you could not see the world needing help. You know that? You could not see the world needing help if you were the illumined Christ. Why? Because the illumined Christ sees no one in lack or want of anything. And you say, well, what about this injury that we just had? What would the illumined Christ say about the injury you just had? What would the illumined Christ say about the injury you just had? The illumined Christ would say, you're whole and perfect. I don't see any injury. I don't see any problem. I don't see anything to heal. You see? And so therefore, the illumined Christ would not heal you. The illumined Christ could not go around healing anyone. The illumined Christ could not go around uplifting anyone. The illumined Christ could not go around being beneficial to humanity. No way. It has not the capacity. The illumined Christ can only see everything illumined just as it is. Now, do you see like that? Do you see all things perfect right now? Do you see through the eyes of your inner illumined self everything in the world as being magnificent? Do you see everything in the world as being fulfilled? Do you see needs anywhere in the world? And when you answer that question, if you ever see needs anywhere in the world, then you're not the illumined Christ. You might be the Jesus. And the Jesus is pretty nice too, but you wouldn't be the illumined Christ, because the illumined Christ cannot see any of these things. It's just impossible. So, we look back at the life of Jesus the Christ, of Jesus, and we see this man walking through Galilee and walking through Jerusalem and all these towns, and wherever there was a need for a healing, he did it. Now, did he? Stop and think. The people who came to Jesus said, my servant is ill. Will you help my brother? Will you help my mother? Did Jesus go to them to help them? Jesus went to them that they might be revealed of themselves, not that he did it. Did he constantly say, it is not I, but the Father within who doeth the works? Did he constantly say that it is not me that should take this credit? It is the credit from the divine. You see, when you deal in that pattern, when you deal in that way, you're dealing in an entirely different and wonderful project. Yeah, yeah. The illumined Christ in all. So many people that I've talked to about that. So many people. And what did they come up with? They all want to be the illumined Christ, and in the same light they want to help the world. People come to the university here and they want to help the world. They all want to do something nice for the world. They all want to help the world out of its poverty. Usually they're very much in poverty themselves. Out of sickness, usually they have many illnesses themselves. Out of many areas, but usually they're areas that they're experiencing themselves. So if they would come here to the university and they would say, I have some areas I'd like to grow in. I'd like to grow in the area of abundance, of health, of right action, relationships, or whatever, you know, whatever. But I want to help the rest of the world so they don't have to be in poverty or be in sickness. You know, it's the very thing they want for themselves. But, you know, doctor, I have come to you, not for me, but for my brother. My brother has these venereal diseases now, and he doesn't know what to do about them. What should he do? And the doctor says, well, send him to the doctor right away so they can be taken care of. And he says, well, wouldn't that hurt? You know, and the doctor says, well, not as much as if you don't. Because your body just is eaten up by these diseases. So you go there. But you see, if the person would just go in, doctor, I have these venereal diseases. Can you help me? And the doctor says, sure thing. Sit right down. Let's take your pulse. Let's do these things. Let's run a blood test on you and see what's going on inside of you and see what kind of pills we want to give you. And everything will be in perfect order. But we don't do that. We don't do that. We say it's for my brother. We say it's for my mother, my father, anybody else but ourselves. You go to the financial counselor. Well, I have no problems, but boy, my brother, he sure can't handle money at all. Well, how can you know that your brother can't handle money if you are a wizard at handling money? You know? You know, a lot of people have rich people in their world. And they say that they'd like to be rich. But here's what they do. They say, they're too rich. They are so rich. They're stinking, filthy rich. They've got everything they've got, which you'd like to have. They have everything, they have everything, they have everything, and they're terrible people. They're terrible because they're rich and don't give it to me, you know? Now, what does that mean? That merely means that you try to put someone down who is successful in the very thing you'd like to be successful. And you have to be very careful of this. Because if you go out and you want to help the world, you can be sure that that's exactly where your need is to be aware and reveal the divine within you. This is important. This is important. We are all talking about the illuminating Christ, you know. And we think that the illuminated Christ is so fantastic, is so wonderful, so beautiful. Well, you will never know the illuminated Christ as long as you keep associating with people who are not there. Now, where do you find others who are illuminated in their Christ self? Where do you find them? In the church? No, never. In the church, you find people who are trying to understand what their spiritual path is, which is fine and dandy. But you will not find an illumined Christ, one who is done with the program, who has fulfilled all the requirements and is up in that awareness of purity and goodness and fabulous qualities. You won't find them in the churches. You won't find them in the schools. You won't find them in life. You won't find them anywhere. Only when you arrive at that level of appreciation of who you are will you realize that they were living next door to you all along. You know? You always admired the people next door because they always seemed to be living peaceful, happy, harmonious lives. Never had a negative word in their mouth, never had a negative attitude in their consciousness. They were just fantastic. Now, Can you be that way? Can you be that way? You see, if you are that way, then you are that way. Then you are an illumined Christ. But if you're not that way, you are not an illumined Christ. You see, as Esther was saying several times, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. And Ellen and Sylvia and Ingeborg and everybody else, I'm working on it. Don't say that. You am it. Yeah, you are it. Don't be working on it. Be it. And as long as you say you're working on it, it's not that may be an objective truth, but as long as you say you're working on it, you are not the illumined Christ. I am it. I am it. I am whatever it is you speak your word for. And don't think that anything is too big or too small, because everything is important. Isn't it important to see your toe whole and perfect when you stub it, as well as anything else in your life whole and perfect when you just experience it? It is so important for us to be just on top of everything in our life and then be done with it, you know, and then it's over with. We want to be in charge of these things. We want to be aware of who we are. We want to be aware of the divine in us. Now, we've had a lot of interesting experiences in our life. We've had interesting experiences in our life of saying that we surround ourselves with the pure white light of love. We surround ourselves with all that is perfect and good and beautiful. We surround ourselves with all that is illumined. Now, Ellen, why wouldn't we surround ourselves with people knowing that we are conducting a week-long seminar here? Or is it a day-long seminar? Or is it an hour-long seminar? Or is it just a sitting chit-chatting together? Why don't we create people aware of this? Why don't we create people who receive our gist and receive our publications and receive our email and who are receiving letters from us? And we write in that letter that on this day we are having a seminar here. Remember? Yeah. Why is it that they don't respect that and don't honor that? Because they wish they were here. And they want to get a little bit of the vibration of it by phone when they call. And these people who don't even answer the phone, that's what they're doing. They're letting our vibrations come through. Now, are your vibrations of irritation? Why do they call in the middle of our seminar? Or are your vibrations, I love you, go your way, be yourself and have fun. I love you, go your way, be yourself and have fun. You see, when your vibrations are that, then no one can touch you. No one can get to you. Then you are closing in on, getting closer to your divine self. It's wonderful. It's really wonderful. Think on these things. Think on these things with all your heart, and your mind, and your soul. Just think on these things and let them happen in your life. Now, you can do that. You can do that. You can let them happen in your life. And when you let them happen in your life, then you are the master. But if you don't let them happen in your life, then what happens to you? Then you are just a normal, ordinary, wonderful human being. A normal, ordinary, wonderful human being who needs and wants and desires things. And if that's what you choose, that's okay. That's okay. Remember, Jesus was walking down the road, and this person came and touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus knew that someone had touched him. Even in a crowded, jostling people, bumping up against other people, he knew that. And what did he say? Did he tell her, "You are healed"? She said, "I have this issue of blood for so long." And he said, "You are healed." What else could he have said? "You're whole and perfect. What else could he have said? He could only say what the Christ in him could see in her. Now, she had the illusion, and she played the illusion up as much as she could, very dramatically. Oh, let me touch with the hem of your garments and I can be healed, you know. And why wasn't she healed? Did she touch the hem of his garment? Yes. Did he know it? Yes. Was she healed? No. You see, we have such interesting ideas about these things. That's just a story. It's a wonderful story. But she said, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed. And she wasn't. They don't mention that. But she wasn't. And then Jesus said, you're healed. It's done unto you. According to your belief, you're healed. And she went her way healed. Now, why wasn't she healed? By her own conviction, saying, if I could touch the hem of his garment, I'd be healed. Why wasn't she healed? She did not believe that the Christ consciousness was in her. She believed it was outside of her. And what was it that Jesus did? Jesus spoke to the Christ consciousness in her. Could anyone speak to the devil in you? Oh, yeah. They speak to the devil in you every time they get you irritated about something. Isn't it terrible what they're doing to those people there? Look at how they're kicking those dogs around. And the dogs are chained up and they're kicking them so that they go flying from one side of the cage to the other. It's terrible. It's inhumane. Of course, the dogs, it's in animal, but not inhumane because the dog's not humane. But what is it all about? What would the person say if they were the Christ consciousness? And say it loudly. Well, now that's good. All is in divine order. And what would a person say if they saw the dogs being kicked around? They would say, all is in divine order? Or would they say, peace? Or would they say, I see these dogs taken care of in a wonderful, beautiful way, loved and respected and enjoyed. Now that's what you really want to say, isn't it? That's what you really want to say. And all is in divine order is excellent. It's a general statement and it's a good statement. But when you say that these dogs are handled in a humane, loving way, your mind instantly can accept that, right? But when you say all is in divine order, your mind cannot accept that. So, as you are building your awareness of your Christ consciousness, of your illumined consciousness, the illumined Christ in you, as you're building your awareness of that, you want to build with what you might say the most reasonable building blocks that your consciousness can handle. Not that the other won't work. Not that the other, a lady on the phone today said, how many times should I make the statement, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body? I said, oh, about 10 million times. She said, oh, I thought I should probably say it a little more. Well, now, either she wasn't listening, or in her listening, she interpreted it differently. But what was it that she should have said? She should have said, I speak my word and it is fulfilled. I speak my word and it is done. When you speak your word, can it be done instantly? If so, why don't you do that? Why do you like to just sit there and oh God, help me. Oh God, take care of this. Oh, I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. Oh, I'm whole and perfect. You know, why do you do that? You know? It's because we haven't come to the conclusion of who we really are. Now, who are we really? Are we some divine entity that hasn't quite made it yet? Are we perhaps the essence of God on scraps, not on the real thing? Think about it. Where are you? What is your dream for yourself? What is your desire for yourself? What is your goal for yourself as far as your spiritual life goes? The illumined Christ is in all. The illumined Christ is in all. What does it mean for the illumined Christ to be in all? It means that everyone has the same capacity. So, if we look at the world through the eyes of the illumined Christ within us, all the world will be lifted up to the illumined Christ, right? You see, when we look at the world through the illumined Christ, then we are blessing the world. We are revealing to the world that it is good and very good already. And all we're doing is reconfirming that. All we're doing is claiming it again and again and again. And that's very beautiful. So that's something that we all want to consider a little bit. How do you confirm that the Christ in you is all these things? How do you confirm that? How do you confirm that the illuminated Christ is in everyone? How do you know that? Well, we can compare something to maybe an ocean of water. Now, in the ocean of water, and that's a good comparison, in the ocean of water, there's H2O, the water, right? And in the ocean of water, there is a great deal of salt. And you see, it's a salt solution that's been in there building up over the years. And the ocean has acclimated its elementary beingness to that salt. Okay, then in the ocean are fish. In the ocean are big fish and little fish. In the ocean are all sorts of things, you know, things that might destroy each other or things that might be the food chain for each other. It's all sorts of things. Now, the ocean is the illuminated Christ. The H2O is the illuminated Christ. It's everywhere. You swim in it, you dance in it, you sing in it, you drink in it, you eat in it. Fish do that, you know. And so, is there anywhere where H2O is not? As far as you're concerned, it is everywhere in your world. Okay. Since it's everywhere in your world, why is it that you find it difficult to see it? Why is it you find it difficult to see the divine in your world? Because you think the divine in your world has to come in a different package. That's very interesting. The divine must come in a different package. Think about these things. Must the divine come in a different package, or can the divine come in a very obvious package? Can it come in a package that we can readily recognize, that has the word divine written all over it? You know? Can it come that way? It does. Yes, it does. And it does all the time. Do you ever feel good about some of the programs you enter into? Do you ever feel good when you go out to play tennis, for instance, and you take that tennis racket in your hand, and you know how to play, and you just whip the old tennis racket around and are just excellent? Maybe you don't play tennis. You wouldn't have that experience. You might play golf. You might drive a car. You might do anything that you want to do. But you come to a point where you just feel very good about it. We're going for a drive this afternoon. We're going to go out in the country. Doesn't that sound like fun? Yeah. We're going down to Doggy Beach today. And everybody says, oh, wonderful, wonderful. And even Esther has never been to Doggy Beach. She says, wonderful. And when she got down there, she says, this is unbelievable. All of these big, monstrous dogs, as big as people, and little tiny dogs as small as your big toe, so to speak, are all running around without leashes on. They're all in harmony with one another. And if any dog is not in harmony with another dog, he's not allowed on the beach. Now, wouldn't that be something if our world were a world of perfect harmony, and anybody who did not want to be in harmony with our world could not come on it? They could not appear in it. Now, don't laugh in your Snickers about this, because it's true. It's true. If you and I were to realize that we're the masters and that we only want certain things in our world that we want, we'll experience it. Now, the ocean. The ocean is filled with fish, and fish of every kind and description. Now, there are little fish like this, and the little fish that are an inch long can grow up to be many feet long, maybe even 100 feet long. A fish 100 feet long. Now, why can it grow up to be 100 feet long? Now, the fish grow up to be 100 feet long because they have a built-in immunity system. Now, you might say, immunity? Yeah. Anybody who touches them gets a sting. Anybody who touches them gets a bite, you know. Or anyone who touches them is up for having other fish chase them away. Because this fish has taught other fish to take care of him and keep everything away from him. Okay, now, why is it that a school of fish can swim around with maybe 1,000 fish in the school, and they all stay together and they do all sorts of things together? Why is that? Why doesn't some big old whale come along and open his mouth at the school of fish and have the school of fish swim right in? They don't do that. The big whale comes along and goes to a school of plankton or whatever it is, krill, and they just sieve them right through their teeth, through the devices that the whale has in its mouth, and they can go in, but they can't come out. And so he eats tons and tons and tons of this material. Now, for him to have to chase after the little fish in their schools, it would be true he could eat maybe 4 or 5 schools a day and be content, but he just goes into this dense body of krill and just opens his mouth and lets it flow in, and then he gets another 1,000 pounds to his stature. I mean, they really grow. Now, why does a whale create himself having that experience? And it would seem like it's quite easy. Well, it is. Have whales ever starved? And the answer is really no. Whales have had other problems that they beached themselves for because they wanted to die, because they could not take care of it, and they didn't want to infect the rest of the herd of whales with whatever they had. But really, here they are, one of the greatest creatures in the sea, who fish with the most amazing fishing capacity, and the krill do not move out of the way. In fact, they swim right into the whale's mouth because that's where they're supposed to be. And the whale has very little hunting to do. And then you take another fish, you can take the shark, for instance, and the shark likes to fight. He just likes an aggressive world. And so he creates an aggressive environment for himself, a shark. And when the shark does that, is he a bad person for doing it? Is he stupid? Well, he's stupid if he says, I am the master of my world. Would you say that the whale was more the master of its world than the shark? The shark has to hunt for the food. The whale virtually just opens its mouth. And what about all the other fish in the sea? They each create their own environment. And some of them create themselves to look like other fish. Or they put a light out in front of their nose to attract other fish, and then they eat them. And Finding Nemo, as you recall, had that good illustration of that. A little more dramatic than it really is, but perhaps it's that dramatic if you are going through that experience. But think of that. Think of that. Now, how could those little fish swim around that big ocean and not get lost? They do. They live there all the time. And do they get home? Do they get back? Do they do these things? Well, maybe, maybe not. Who's writing the story? A human being is writing the story, and the human being is writing the story from the human point of view, and so he makes it human. Now, the illuminated Christ in each one of us always knows the answer. It always knows the answer. And if you remember in Finding Nemo, Nemo was calling out, "Dad, Dad, Dad, where are you?" And Dad was calling out, "Nemo, where are you? Nemo." And their voices were resounding throughout the ocean, according to the human point of view. And so all the other fish were cooperative. Even the birds, everybody was cooperative. Wasn't that interesting? Now, why, you see, when creators create stories like the people who create these things at Disney Studios, how could they present something which was illogical and unreasonable? Who's going to buy it? You know who's going to buy it? Nemo and his dad. Because they're dealing purely with love. They're dealing purely with love, and love can conquer all. So when you, as the illumined Christ, think of doing anything, it doesn't matter whether it's reasonable or right or just, you just put the cause in motion. Now, I've said to you before, it's much easier to say, my toes whole and perfect, than it is, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Because your toe, you can visualize and you can see that it hurts or it's whole and perfect. But to visualize your whole body, every organ, action, function of my body, that's difficult. That's difficult. Now, Esther was saying to Sylvia, "Oh, you know where everything is in this trailer, in this motorhome. You know where the cups go. You know where this is." Well, she put them there, you know? She put them there. Of course she knows, and she should. And if she didn't put them there, what do you think she did? She sneaked a peek. She looked in all the cupboards to see where things were, and then when she knew, that is when she needed them or chose to use them, she knew where they were. Is that what she's supposed to do, or was she supposed to not peek? You see, we should peek at the illumined Christ within us. We should peek at that inner reality that we are, that inner beauty that we are. Because as we peek at it, do you know what's going to happen? We're going to find it. We're going to find it, and it's going to be like a homecoming. Oh, wonderful. Yeah, I knew that's who I was. I knew that's how I am. And you see, that's beautiful. That really is beautiful. Our Easter seminar on campus for 2004 is entitled The Illumined Christ in All. And we're going to give 1, 2, 3, 4 lectures of about an hour each, more or less. And the first one is The Illumined Christ in All. The second lecture is What is Expected of Us? And the third one, What Will Happen to Creation? And the last one, where does this fit into the eternity of all? Where does this concept fit into the eternity of all? And we'll have quite a good time as we discuss these ideas and share these ideas today. And if you have any questions, be sure to let me know, and we'll talk about them perhaps during some of our meditation times. So, have a lovely morning, and know that I see you whole and perfect now and always. I love you. I love you. I love you.